Good morning. Happy Sabbath. Special welcome to Pastor Walt and Diane. It's good to see you all here in Kimberling City. Pastor Walt and Diane hold a special place in Ellie and I's hearts. It was in 1984 in Springfield that he baptized us, or rebaptized us, into the Adventist Church. So he and his family hold a special place in our hearts. And we welcome you here. I know you used to be here many times until you moved to Gentry, where we live. So we get to see them usually Sabbath mornings at Sabbath school when I'm there. But I'm about half the time I'm off somewhere else. So, but welcome to the Kimberling City Church. What I'm talking about today, I actually gave this sermon in 2019 here in this church. It's entitled Behold the Man, though I changed it to for today, An Encounter with Christ. And I've completely rewritten the sermon, so it's nothing like it was when I gave it 7 years ago, roughly, is when it was that I gave this. Tomorrow is Easter. It's Easter Sunday. The world is celebrating this day. So if you're expecting a sermon about Christ, yes, we're going to have a sermon about Christ this morning. It's going to be a sermon about the man and his significance in our lives today. We're going to be looking at a moment in history, a moment captured by Pontius Pilate. He gave a simple yet powerful declaration, "Behold the man." That was in our scripture reading this morning. It was uttered by Pontius Pilate. He was having an exasperation moment, perhaps even awe, but it was not as a historical figure of Christ, but as a son of God, what he was exclaiming. He was fully human, but yet fully divine. As we go through our journey today and unpack the scriptures, we're going to understand the depth of the statement that we will look at. As we reflect on our journey of faith, we'll be looking at various passages in the Bible. Primarily, we're going to be looking in the book of John. It's a testament written so that we can believe and that we can know that Jesus is the Christ. He was sent, and he is the Son of God. John 20, verse 31 tells us why the scriptures were written for us, why they were written for us to see. And then beginning in verse 30 of John 20, it says, "And many other signs truly did Jesus do in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book," in the book of John. Verse 31, it says, "These are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, He is the Son of God, and that believing that you may have life through his name. I want to consider some of the crucial questions that came up. Some came up into my mind, others I read about, and as I thought about them, they arise from the declaration that Pilate said, "Behold the man." So who is this man Pilate said to behold? It says that Pilate scourged Jesus. What does it mean to scourge someone? What does this act reveal about him? What has he done for you? What does he mean to each one of us personally? The question, do you know Christ? Do we need to know Christ more deeply today? And the question, what is Christ's qualifications to be our mediator today? Let us go to the Lord in prayer one more time. Oh, gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, the word that we have that we're able to study and read. We read that it is a lamp unto our feet. It's a light to our path. And we ask, we open the scriptures today as we read your words. Father, we ask that your Holy Spirit will be imparted to each one here. Illuminate our minds and our hearts that as we study this, that we will truly behold the man, Jesus Christ, and that we will understand what his significance is in each one of our lives. We ask this all in Christ's name. Amen. Christ is presented. Pilate, he was a Roman governor. He found himself in an impossible situation. The Jewish leaders had brought him, Jesus, to him, demanding his execution. Pilate was a man of the world, Roman governor. He saw Jesus maybe as a political figure, a political threat. Saw him maybe as a religious fanatic, but not necessarily deserving of death. And as we read through some of the scriptures, we see that Pilate was trying to keep from sending Jesus to his death. He tried to release him, but the crowd's fury was relentless. In an attempt to appease them, maybe to provoke pity or contempt, we see that Pilate had Jesus scourged. What does it mean to scourge someone? It wasn't a gentle whipping. It was brutal. It was a form of punishment that the Romans had come up with. It was a barbaric form of punishment. And it often they used it preceding the crucifixion of an individual. The Roman whip had multiple leather thongs in it. They were embedded with sharp objects that would tear the body as the Roman guards used that whip on their victim. The goal was to tear the flesh and to inflict pain, to break the spirit and the body of the victim. Can you imagine the scene? as Christ was scourged, the sinless Son of God, as he was stripped, bound, and subjected to this beating. His back would have been a bloody, mangled mess. And then in verse 5, Pilate presents him. Perhaps it was on a balcony or through a window, saying, "Behold the man." He's presenting a spectacle of suffering, a broken human being. Pilate, in his ignorance, was presenting far more than what he really knew about Christ. He was presenting the very embodiment of God's love to this world. It was God's sacrifice. He was presenting the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of this world. It's a stark reminder of the depth that human sin has taken individuals. It talks about the immense cost of our redemption, of Christ's death upon the cross. It highlights the incredible humility of Christ, who willingly endured this suffering for you and for me. "Behold the man" echoes a prophecy centuries old. We read about it in Isaiah 53. It paints a vivid picture of the suffering servant. It says that he was despised, rejected by mankind. He was a man of suffering, familiar with pain. Like one from whom people hide their faces, he was despised. We took no account of him, yet it was our weakness that he carried. It was our sin that he carried and bore to that cross. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Through his punishment, it brought us peace. It was upon him. By his wounds, we are healed. The prophecy is fulfilled in the man Pilate presented. Christ was the man of sorrows. He bore our griefs, he carried our sins. He was not punished for his wrongdoing. He went through life without sinning, but he was punished for our own wrongdoings. John 3:16, we all know the verse. It's one of the most famous verses in all the scriptures. And it says there, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only begotten Son, that whosoever should believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life." God's one and only Son was given out of immeasurable love. He's the divine Son, yet he was fully man. 1 Timothy 3:16 states this. It says, "And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness." God was manifest in the flesh. He was justified in the spirit. He was seen of angels. He was preached to the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and he was received up into glory. So who was this man Pilate said to behold? He's the God-man. He's the promised Messiah. He's the suffering servant. He was sacrificed for our sins. He was the embodiment of God's love. He is the one who willingly stepped into our suffering to bring us healing and to bring us peace. The crucial question we have is, what is Christ's qualification to be our mediator? What is a mediator? It's someone who stands between two parties to reconcile them. Sin had brought separation between us and God. And Christ came to stand as our mediator. Humanity is separated from God by sin. And we need someone that can bridge that gap, stand between us. The book of Hebrews tells us that Jesus is uniquely qualified. In Hebrews 2, verses 14 through 17, it tells us this. The children have flesh and blood. He too shared in their humanity so that by his death, that he might break the power of him who holds the power of death. Of course, we know that's the devil. He's the one that holds the power of death. And free those who all lives were held in slavery by their fear. It goes on and says that he did not take up the angels, but he took up the seed of Abraham. He took up the humanity. And that was the reason he needed to be made feel fully human in every way, so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in service to God, that he could make the atonement for the sins of all people. His qualification lies in his dual nature. He's fully human. He shares in our humanity. He shares in our flesh and blood. He understands the temptations. He understands our weaknesses. He understands the sufferings that we go through, because he experienced life as we do, from birth to death. This makes him a merciful and a faithful high priest. He's also fully divine. He's the Son of God without sin. Only a sinless being could offer this perfect sacrifice that was required and that atones for the sins of others. 1 Timothy tells us there is one God and one mediator between God and mankind, and that's the man Christ. He's the only mediator because he is the only one who is both fully God and fully man. He lived a perfect life, and he died a sacrificial death. Acts 4:12 confirms this. He said, salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. He's the only path to our reconciliation with God. Have you considered what this man, Jesus Christ, has done for you? The answer is staggering. Turn to Philippians chapter 2. It talks here and it describes Christ and his incredible self-emptying. It says here in these verses that he humbled himself. Philippians 2, verses 6 through 8. Verse 6, it says, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Verse 7, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant. and he was made in the likeness of men. And verse 8 says, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself. He became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. In the great book, Desire of Ages, it tells us this. It says that God foresaw sin in the world, and that he made provision to meet it. It says, so great was his love for this world that he covenanted to give his only begotten Son. That's in Desire of Ages, page 22. If we continue on in Philippians 2, a few more verses, 9 through 11, it says that God exalted him to the highest place, gave him the name that is above every name, and that the name of Christ, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth, and under all creation, every tongue acknowledge that Christ Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. He gave up a divine privilege to be our Redeemer. He became one of us. He came to live among us. He came to die for us. He became for us. Poor, poor. He left all of heaven to come to this sinful world. 2 Corinthians 8, verse 9 reminds us, though he was rich, yet for our sakes he became poor, that through his poverty we might become rich. His poverty was not just material, it was the poverty of suffering, of bearing our sins. Our riches are spiritual, forgiveness, righteousness, eternal life can be granted to us. He became sin for us. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, it says, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. It was the ultimate exchange. Our sin was laid upon Christ. His righteousness is imputed to us. He offers us eternal life and sustenance. That's in John 6, verses 53 through 57, it says, verily I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Goes on and says, whoever shall eat my flesh and drink my blood has eternal life. And I will raise them up in the last day. For my flesh is real food. My blood is real drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in them. By partaking of his sacrifice, by believing in him, we receive his life and the promise of the resurrection. So what does this man mean to each one of us personally? Behold the man, what does he mean to us? As I look out over the congregation, a lot of us are getting older. What does he mean to us? It means to each one of us that Jesus, the man who suffered, died and rose again. The world tomorrow is celebrating the resurrection of Christ. But this man that took humanity, he knows us intimately. He understands the aches and pains that we go through. He understands the losses. He understands our joys and the wisdom that comes as we get older. When Christ came to Mary Magdalene after his resurrection, he says, "Do not hold on to me. I have not yet ascended unto my Father." He said, "Go tell my brothers. Tell them I am ascending to my Father and to your Father, to my God and to your God." He calls us brothers and sisters. He's establishing a personal relationship with each one of us. His ascension to the Father is also our ascension in hope. He means forgiveness for our past sins. He means strength for the present challenges each one of us are going through. He means hope for the future, a future that is beyond this earthly life. He's the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. Your sins, my sins, all of our sins. He offers peace with God, a peace that passes all understanding. This brings some crucial questions. Do you need to get to know Christ more deeply today? Perhaps you're here and you've heard about Jesus, but you never truly surrendered your life to Him. Perhaps you have walked with Him for many years, but something has come in between. Behold, the man is an invitation. It's an invitation to look beyond the suffering, beyond the historical figure that stood before Pilate that day, and to see Jesus as your personal Savior and Lord. Today, as I stand here before you, I have no idea where your walk is. Your walk is with the man. You may have never accepted him as your Savior. I don't know. But today is the day that we recognize our sins, believe that Christ died for us. Ask Him to be your Lord and Savior. He's the only mediator that there is. He's the only way to God. As I said earlier, maybe you once walked with a man, but you've strayed. Today's the day to return. Today's the day to confess your sins and ask for forgiveness. It's time to recommit our lives to Him. He is faithful and He is just to forgive. Prayerfully, we are all walking with the man today. Today is the day to deepen that walk. Today is the time to spend more time in prayer, asking for the Holy Spirit to be poured out in a mighty way. Today is the time to spend more time in His Word, getting to know and to better understand what Christ means to us. Let's let His love and sacrifice continually shape our life. Christ is not just a historical figure. He's the living Christ. He offers eternal life to all who believe. He's done everything necessary. He gave His life. Our question is, what will we do? Will we behold Him? Not with only our eyes, but will we behold Him with our hearts? Will we embrace Him as our Lord, as our Savior, as our Mediator, as our all? As we conclude, let us carry the image of the man with us. The man who was scourged, the man who died, and the man who rose again. This man is our high priest. He's our mediator. He's our Savior. He has done all, everything for us. He should mean everything to us. I hope as we leave here today that we will pray for a renewed commitment in our lives. We will pray for a deeper understanding. And that we will pray for a more personal relationship with Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Our closing hymn this morning is hymn 526. Because He lives. Because He lives, He lived. And He died to buy our pardon. Because He lives, I can face the world. Because He lives, all fear is gone. Let's stand and sing our closing hymn 526.